Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Patterson.
Hello there.
And Ash Millman.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about all things Elder Scrolls 6, because it's definitely a ways off, but it seems to be one of the only things that might be able to resurrect or save Bethesda's current situation, reputation-wise, business-wise, all the different wise things. What do you guys think of Elder Scrolls in general, and are you looking forward to 6 after the madness that was Fallout 76?
Yes.
Good.
Holding out faith. Honestly, I think Fallout 76 was a misstep. So because the logic is that because they have made a terrible mistake and done something that they should not have done, that they will now go, whoa, let's take it back to the things that we know are going to work, we know are going to be amazing, and do it for Elder Scrolls 6.
Did you play Elder Scrolls Online very much?
I've dabbled in it. I haven't played it like extensively. Mm-hmm.
Saw the cool little CGI films that did. They were neat.
Yeah. They were cool.
They were good.
Because I was kind of curious. I mean, I know it wasn't Bethesda. I know it was ZeniMax that did Scrolls Online. But you'd assume that because Scrolls Online finally managed to save itself a bit, had a bit of a weird launch, and then came back again. If 76 had gone a different direction, then maybe we might have seen something else more in that vein for a full-on next installment.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, because I have always preferred Elder Scrolls to Fallout, that's just kind of how I am.
Same.
But I always like the idea of potentially having an Elder Scrolls on the horizon where you could hop into the world that someone else is role-playing in, so you could like go in and see how their world differed to yours, just like a temporary, kind of how it was like in the Fable games, where you could hop into someone else's world and just screw around for a bit.
Yeah.
I'm not really a fan of like any sort of multiplayer-focused Bethesda game, because, again, that's why I didn't check out 76.
Mm.
And presumably they're not going to do it for Elder Scrolls 6 either, because, you know, the 76 just didn't
think.
And it was a bad thing. We don't want the bad thing to happen again. Mm. So I don't want them to be put off the concept of online forever, because I would quite like to, you know, hop into someone else's world and be like, oh, you did that's a bit bad, innit? And then just come back to mine. Look how cool my place is. Yeah. And then, you know, do that. But
giant building thing. Because, I mean, the Skyrim's like extra DLC had that stuff. Like, there's a hearth fire where you could build your own houses and stuff.
Hearthstone
is the card training. I always get those confused as well. I'm pretty sure it's hearth fire. There is a hearth. You can make a hearth. You can, you know, do whatever you want with a hearth. And in Skyrim, they seem to go down that sort of more survival route and like living in the world. And I wonder how much that's the natural extension of where the franchise was going anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think about one of the things that Elder Scrolls excels in, letting you choose all these different ways that you want to play, all these different professions that you can have.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think in terms of, like, do they take any influence from something like The Witcher that's more like focused on the combat side of it, or a specific role that you need to play?
The thing is, for Skyrim, I did not bother with the story at all. I had one playthrough where I had the whole thing where I was like, I had like one playthrough where I was like, okay, I'm going to be the dragonborn, I'm going to do all this stuff. But pretty much every time that I played Skyrim, and the save that I had the most hours on, I was just making my own little story in my head, doing my own little nerd stuff, you know, being like, oh, I'm this elf that's come over from yonder, and now I'm going to be a vampire hunter with the Dawn Guard. Ain't that fascinating? And then that kind of the whole role playing aspect is what really draws me in those games.
Cool.
I know it's a bit silly, but whatever.
No, that's my point. Yeah. I think that they offer so much down that route that you don't even really need a story.
So if they're going to improve on anything, I will say that the combat needs sorting, because there's nothing more weird than playing Skyrim and using a sword or whatever, and then just hacking against this guy. It's just, well, this is doing damage apparently. Apparently, I can hear. I can hear some slashing noises, but his limbs are there.
Everyone's animations just keep going.
And the games have, I think they're like 16 or 18 rated anyway. So why don't you just go all in and just have dismemberment like Fallout does?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. It's
they did
satisfy my bloodlust.
You did that in Skyrim.
They decapitations. Where you could do like critical hits and chop people's heads off, which was good. More of that would be good, because you can upgrade the blood levels and stuff.
Nice.
Some of the mods. But more of that would be good. I think everyone's dream would be Elder Scrolls CD Projekt Red style, but we aren't going to get that.
So that's the thing. I mean, I wonder what their split's going to be in terms of, like, you know, defined story focus versus just playing fully into the things that they've teased, the more survivable elements or the idea of, you know, the side stuff being the big draw.
Yeah, it's really silly because, again, for Skyrim, just proving everyone here how much of a sad nerd I am, but I really got into the medicine-y thing, what's it called? The medicine stuff, you could create your own medicine. You create your own poisons.
Alchemy.
Well, I really got into the alchemy of things. Yeah. I was like, I'm a guy who's from yonder, and I hunt vampires, and I also make my own poison arrows. How cool is
that?
So that would be really cool. But then again, the whole... There were different elements of the combat as well that are really frustrating.
Yeah. I always think with any open world game, they always have a problem trying to design, like, a story with propulsion, but also one, like, you know, something that has enough of a gap for you to go off and do whatever you want. Like, one of the biggest examples in that regard for me is always Mass Effect 3, because it's like, hey, the Earth is literally burning. Like, you have no time to go do side stuff. You need to go save the Earth. Whereas, like, Scrolls, it was just, like, dragon invasion's happening, and you can get around to it whenever you want.
You can check it out if you want.
You check it out if you want.
No pressure.
Go high Hrothgar and all that kind of thing. So there are, like, some things that are confirmed for Elder Scrolls 6. Like, the vast majority is just kind of up in the air because obviously they're still putting it together. But Todd Howard said that they will still be using the same engine that Fallout 76 and Skyrim were on.
The creation engine.
And so he said that one of the reasons that they wanted to keep it is that the modders are obviously very comfortable with it and they like using it as well.
Just actually just crap though, isn't it?
It's a little bit crappy.
We're not going to create a new engine because our community will make a better one for
There were months that came out after both Skyrim and Fallout 4 that were literally like, we've fixed the bugs. It's a point where I think Bethesda are running out of goodwill. And I'm not saying that, you know, they are their own studio. They don't have to, like, change their engine or whatever. But there comes a point where innovation has to be, you know, it has to come.
Yeah.
And I think everyone, even the most ardent of, like, Elder Scrolls fans or Fallout fans, are probably a little bit bored by the whole engine. Like, it's had its uses and it's definitely versatile. But I think it's high time that if we're going to have an Elder Scrolls game that is on the next gen, if it is going to be on the next gen, then it should. Then we should be able to enjoy it without the crappy bugs, because you know,
just a whole new experience with a different engine would just be nice. Something new to learn, something new to see for modders as well. I imagine, as I am not a modder, it's still nice learning new things and being able to mess with something new, especially if it comes with a load of upgrades and it needs like a graphical overhaul for like faces and stuff.
Well, in terms of like facial animation, I mean, you know, like Bethesda and especially the Scrolls series is like one of the premier RPG franchises. And yet you look at, I mean, I think Skyrim's aged pretty well, especially the HD re-release, like, especially on the texture level and everything. But it's like, if you're going to have a game that's centered around different interactions with, like, you know, different races and humans and all that kind of thing, then that should have the best facial animation. It should have the best cloth physics.
Getting
catapulted into the clouds because you touched some guy too close.
I love how that happened every single time I ran into a giant. It was always like, 90 feet in the air. Good.
That's another topic, just quickly, is how much do you think the jank and the bugs the full-on hashtag jank is part of the Elder Scrolls appeal? Or do you think how much of it is part of... Because a lot of people go, Bethesda, you little scamp. So it's there's other game worlds falling apart.
Oh, you Bethesda.
Yeah.
That was me for so long. Right. That's the thing, I agree. I was both like, the bugs, it's part of the charm. You know you're going to get it. But like after Fallout 76 and like actually investing in playing that a bit, I was like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, it's one too many now. Like it's just taking the
immersion?
I don't know what the word for piss is that I can say on a podcast.
You can say piss.
You could have said peanuts. You could have said pizzazz.
Piss is fine, isn't it?
Piss, fine. We'll find out. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, are we at a state now where the vast majority of games, especially in the AAA space, are so polished, the likes of God of War, Spider-Man, Monster Hunter, whatever, they come with an assumed level of polish that Bethesda never really seemed to prioritize. And that was something that, like you said, the modders kind of pick up the slack.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much they just don't seem to allocate their funds to, you know, go over and over something on a quality testing level. They're like, we'll put it out and the mod community will fix it. And obviously they've never literally said that, but that's how it feels.
Yeah.
And so like, it's kind of something like that where, I don't know, I kind of wonder as to what kind of state Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be in, because they could really do with an overhaul.
I just really hope, because obviously Starfield's got to come first, which I assume we'll get to. But
that's also, well, actually that's a great pivot because that also is using the same engine again.
Oh, is it as well?
Yep.
See, this is a problem, but I feel like at least... Oh, there's two parts to this, because it's like, Starfield is a whole new IP. It should be like really amazing. It should be something brand new. It should bring all these things together that we haven't seen before from a Bethesda title. But also, the nerd like for Elder Scrolls in me is going, just use it as like a testing ground. Just use it. Like, try all your mistakes.
It's not as important.
Yeah, make that a horrible
mistake. That can be the lamb to sacrifice.
Yeah, and then come back and learn everything from it and put it good into the Elder Scrolls. But I don't know. I'm excited for Starfield as well because all of the things that it's supposed to link into.
I want to be, but I think my base problem with Bethesda is on that sheer technical level where I just don't. They haven't done a polished game ever. And like, well, not like in like a full, if you think of something like I said, like a God of War or Spider-Man, the level of polish that goes into those games and Overwatch or whatever, even something like Apex Legends, like Bethesda just don't prioritize that stuff during development. And so like, I don't have, like, I look at something like The Outer Worlds, like Obsidian's new one, and that's nigh on them, like, you know, satisfying the Fallout crowd and the potential Starfield crowd all at once. And I'm like, how can the hell Bethesda even come up against that?
Yeah, I mean, there's the weird thing with Bethesda as well is that it's not only just like the quirky bugs that we associate with them, like if you recall Fallout, Skyrim was unplayable on the PlayStation 3 for God knows how long. Months, like it shipped unplayable, and that was just like, eh, fine, you know, whatever.
To quickly describe that bug, apparently, whenever you saved on the PS3 version, it made the file kept making the save file bigger and bigger until the game just bricked and wouldn't.
Yeah, it's like the frame rate would like stagger really badly as well. It's a really frustrating thing. I don't want to get bogged down on like the buggy side of it too much because there's so much. Obviously, we all love the series, otherwise we wouldn't be talking about it. But yeah, there are certain things I want to say. I kind of want the sneaking mechanic to change because I remember in Skyrim you could just sneak, and then it got to the point where you were such a high level sneaker, I could literally do this. And you would not see that. It would be like the worst thing ever. So if they could change that,
I do think stealth could do with like an overhaul. Like one of the only RPGs that has like as much like a massive sense of scope that did stealth well, I thought, was Kingdoms of Amalur. I don't know if you guys played that.
I've seen
Amalur. Yeah,
Amalur. And in that one, you know, if you specialised in stealth, you're literally, you've got a good crouching animation. You're kind of doing dodge rolls, and you're doing like specific crits if you sneak up on people. And I know Scrolls has that, but it's always been this weird, arbitrary like approach to it where
it's so broken really as well because when you do stealth, you limit yourself to so many different combat encounters, so you'll just be there and you get the bonus damage as well. And like when you get really good bows, it's literally like you just sneak and then you can just go and then you get them. And it's kind of like, I enjoy playing stealthily, so when I get that, it kind of robs me of the challenge. Like I would like the AI to be a little bit more clever. I know these games are so massive, so something has to give.
Yeah.
But I think when you rely so heavily on combat, every different tree in that skill tree, the tree of life, should be taken into account.
I think that's a good point as well, because we mentioned combat before, but I wonder, because you know, you think of Skyrim, you think of Scrolls as combat, it's very flail heavy, it's very like, this animation is going to play out regardless of anything, like you can block, but it doesn't really, for me it never felt like, especially like tactile or whatever. And I wonder, in a post Dark Souls boom world, do they have to go back to the foundations and you know, make like a whole new combat system?
Do you mean like make it more difficult or make it more realistic?
Kind of both,
because Dark Souls had its problem as well, didn't it, with combat. I think it was 3 that had the flippy enemy thing where they just lock onto you. Yeah. So that had some combat issues.
Maybe Forerunner would be a good place to look at a basis.
Forerunner,
I think,
totally
the point that I want is that I know that in Skyrim you had different scythe weapons. So you had your heavy attacks where you couldn't do light stuff. And then you had, if you had a light weapon, you could have a shield or you could dual wield or whatever. That all needs to be fleshed out. But in like a game like Forerunner, each enemy kind of has its own unique thing. Whenever you get into a fight, it's less, I'm just going... and actually like taking my time to look at when they're going to attack, when I have to parry, when I have to dodge. And a game like Skyrim, which is, you know, swords and shields, it should have an element of, you know, genuine challenge to the combat, apart from, oh, got to guzzle down these 40 cheese wheels to escape these dragons. You know what I mean?
It's worth talking about the inventory stuff as well, because I went back through Skyrim when I got the definitive edition and like just randomly picked a direction, went off and went down into some cave and came up against like, this big like fire demon thing, like a fire summon elemental, whatever you call it. And it was just, it just did so much damage. It was in like 2 hits, I was just dead. And yeah, I was forever just like, excuse me, pausing, scrolling down and then just finding like potion, take that, back to gameplay, attack once, get hit, half my life goes down, pause, back to the potion. Just the most weirdly obtuse way of like kind of healing. And I think it could do with like an inventory overhaul as well. Stuff like that.
I think they should take away the like pause time thing on the inventory menus. Like just when you're in combat, like it should be, I think all games should have it though, where it's still a live game when you've got an inventory up, because you wouldn't just go into battle, go, hang on,
yeah, give me a sec,
let me have my potion,
let me get my cheese wheels out. sword.
I think, let me poison my sword for a few minutes.
It was just such a weird way for them to go. Like, I mean, obviously, like 76 got rid of the idea of pausing for VAT altogether. And I remember in Skyrim, like back at launch, it was like a weird little secret shared amongst people that you could hotkey the directional buttons.
Oh, the quick menu.
Yeah, it's like, hey, if you hold left when you're in the menu, you'll assign it to like left or right.
But even
like,
you're still pausing the game in combat when you go into those quick assigned things. Like if you press up on the D-pad or whatever, you equip your shield or whatever, you know, it's still very, you know, clunky.
It's clunky.
Lacks rhythm and it's very frustrating.
That's the thing that like is a double-edged sword, I guess, for Bethesda, because that clunk is almost what makes them identifiable. It's like, oh, it's a Bethesda RPG. It's going to be like, you know, like...
Well, clunk and bugs.
I mean, I honestly, that's the thing that I think of, though. Yeah. I think back on Skyrim, I think of the glitches that got everywhere. Yeah. Like, I think of, you know, the giants launching sheep across the landscape or whatever it was. And I wonder, like, how much they have to do with the foundations to get away from that.
Yeah, but the daft thing is, even with all those glitches, there was never a point in Skyrim where I wasn't completely engrossed in the mythology of the world. Like, I was constantly coming back and being like, yeah, this is where I live now. This is pretty good. Yeah. I've come from yonder. I now live in Skyrim.
You know what I mean? Like a dragon, like, glitching halfway through a mountain. Yeah. What a sight.
Do you guys think you noticed that stuff as much back then? Because I don't think that I did. I think it's just that as the industry's got more, like, I don't know, tech-focused 4K, like, you know, polished products, we look back on it and we're like, man, that dragon's flying backwards. But I didn't even care
there was never a point in Skyrim where I felt as though the glitches impeded my enjoyment or made me kind of take a step back and look and go, oh god, this is really annoying. Because like there was the element of charm to it as well, but there was never a point in it where I was just like, oh, this is just stupid, because I could deal with it, because you have to reconcile with the expansive nature of the game. Like, it's so huge. And not only is it so huge, there is stuff in there that you'll keep on finding hundreds and hundreds of hours into your game. And I know those quests are repetitive in certain, you know, ways.
Yeah.
But I guess, is that the price we have to pay for a Bethesda Elder Scrolls game?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Does the expanse necessitate some of the old buggy bug?
Yeah, for the longest time, that was the trade-off. It was like, well, we've got this massive, like, you know, potentially, because there's so many, like, there's so many cogs moving at any given time when you're moving through an Elder Scrolls world. And that was always the assumption, was like, well, if you want this level of freedom and exploration and everything, then it has to be this buggy. And then The Witcher 3 came along and said, actually, no, it doesn't. And we can just, like, we can have a polished open world. I mean, Witcher 3 had a pretty rough launch, like, in terms of, there's so many patches applied to that game, like, over time. But I think CDPR, like, proved that you could do something that big. big with a different level of polish and a different level of, like, you know, graphical quality or whatever that doesn't really feel to be that it's in Scrolls. So another thing that's kind of confirmed, me and Ash did a video back when the Scrolls teaser first came out where we tried to pick out where it's going to take place.
Yeah.
And it's nigh on been confirmed now that it's Hammerfell, just because the evidence points to it so blatantly. So you've got, like, these, there's these three outcrops of land on the shoreline that match up with where the map is if you look at Tamriel. And there's a big old crater in the ground, which would assumedly be the crater left behind by, had the dude's name, Azura Nightwielder, who was a mage who blew some stuff up and left the big old crater in the ground.
Was it near Breton, the High Rock as well? Or was it just near Hammerfell?
Yeah, High Rock and Hammerfell.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
so we across the sea.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, so that's really cool because, like, I remember, like, playing Skyrim and being really fascinated by the Hammerfell, the pirates.
I thought that was
really interesting. There was a whole element at play there. I would love to see how, if this is going to pick up on the threads left behind by Skyrim, because I know with each Elder Scrolls game, they've kind of really, you know, jumped in different eras. Mm-hmm. I was really intrigued by the whole political context of, like, the Eldberry Dominion and the elves invading everywhere. So if you get more of that in scenario, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, there was, it kind of escapes me a little bit. I don't know how much you remember your factional warfare of Skrulls land, of Tamriel. But I remember when we first did that video, it was the assumption that they could continue the sort of, you know, in Skyrim, you pick either Stormcloaks or Imperials. Mm-hmm. And then, like, that sort of dominates the way that the story plays out in the background.
Yeah.
Or in terms of, you know, the way the world changes kind of thing. And it's like, that's one of the most beloved parts of Skyrim, is that's something they could maybe, like, tap back into. So I wonder about that
stuff. Because it actually mentioned it in that quest when you go to Whiterun, you have the barmaid at the local keep, and it turns out that she's actually a Redguard fugitive, and then you have the Redguard agents come there and she's like, oh, you gotta help me, and then they actually tell you that she sold out Hammerfell to the Eldmeri Dominion. So there is a whole element there. Maybe you could either choose to side with the Eldmeri Dominion or potentially lead a resistance against them. That'd be a thing.
I think from something I read, or maybe someone contributed to the website, either way, there was this whole piece about the Eldmeri Dominion and the Red Guards and how that had kind of played out, and how if we had a future game, there's this whole people called Akaviri who aren't in Tamriel, but they are still in Nirn. So, oh my god, something.
Bring it.
They're like,
bring it on.
They're from, like, other isles, basically. Yes. So they're still in this planet, but they're not in the key area of Tamriel, which we've seen so far, which is played out in the Elder Scrolls Online. Mm-hmm. And the Akaviri coming over, which is all the weird tiger people and the monkeys and everything like that, all the people like animals. They could have a war, and it starts with Red Guards and Hammerfell and High Rock. Mm-hmm. And, like, basically it's about this invading force from whichever area it comes from.
From yonder.
So this invading force from yonder that the Red Guards then have to prove themselves and become the survivors again, and, like, they can overtake them, kill them off, like, be like, hey, no, this is Tamriel, stay away, in the way that the Old Miri Dominion, like, didn't manage to.
Is there a defined way that has to play out based on the lore?
No,
we don't know yet.
It's just basically, there's a tiny piece of lore in one of the temples where someone talks about the Akaviri and there being a sign that they could attack again. Because it's like, and the whole piece of Skyrim is actually a build-up of one of the prophecies or something. I need to have the proper lore written down for this.
Someone's written about Skrulls before.
Who needs lore when you have the Lusty Argodian maid?
You brought up what's the Lusty Argodian maid?
It's just Elder Scrolls smut. You don't want to go there. Josh Brown will educate you.
I've heard vague things about this maid.
On the topic of Hammerfell, because there are a lot of pirates there.
Yeah.
What about naval combat or sea combat? Not in the case of hashtag skull and bones, but maybe I would quite like the element of, like, vehicle gameplay, because we always have the horses and, you know, they have that one generic animation where it's literally like horse girl.
A Lego horse.
But I would quite like the idea of being able to hop in a boat and maybe go around and make it that it's not all fast travel, because we could, at the end of Skyrim in the DLC for Dragonborn, you could actually ride around on dragons.
Yes.
Yeah.
So even if it is kind of janky and buggy, I would really quite like the idea of, like, maybe if you wanted, obviously because no one has an assigned role in the Elder Scrolls universe, maybe if you wanted to be a pirate in Hammerfell, you get your own pirate ship and you can rob people and do all that sort of thing. But obviously that is asking a lot, and again, the whole expansive thing. But in theory, if there are multiple different realms at play, you should be able to
A way to get back and forth between them.
I think just literally because there's that expansive sea between Hammerfell and High Rock, you could literally just have, like, this, like, whole channel wars thing if you wanted, where, like, the boats could be in there and you could do things in this really set piece of map, so it's not particularly, oh my god, you have all the sea to go to the monsters. But literally this one little bit, that would be so cool.
What I love, the teaser, because when the teaser first came out, you've got the camera like panning down through like, that middle channel. That you've got Hammerfell on the left, High Rock on the right, and everyone's kind of like deciding one of the two. And if it pans more to the left, so assuming it's going to be Hammerfell. But what if it is actually that entire expanse and you actually get both? And
it
then
should
that
be.
Could be a way to do it.
It should be, because we've had Daggerfall, which has already been through basically both those places, more so High Rock, because it's that whole regenerating open world, like procedural generation. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Yeah, it keeps coming.
Oh, yeah, Daggerfall's like the biggest one.
Yeah, well, it keeps coming no matter where you go. But this one, if it was actually like all designed, laid out properly, and was kind of revisiting the themes of Daggerfall whilst advancing them forward in like modern lore, as modern as you can get in medieval fantasy fiction, but that would be good. My train of thought has
They seem to tease that general sort of area, and we've already discussed like some little lore things that they can pull.
I was going to say, expanding on the lore, because I know a lot of people when they played Skyrim, they were a big fan of the College of Winterhold with all the majory stuff.
I love
and I'm correct me if I'm wrong. I think High Rock is the place where the Bretons are, and they're kind of synonymous with magic. So maybe we could have like some sort of like not Harry Potter shenanigans, because read a different book #2019. But also maybe we could have some more magical bants in High Rock.
Yeah,
it is High Rock, isn't
I'm pretty sure, but I think that there's also like an area of people who are less magically inclined. I think Red Gods. Yeah, okay? They're not.
They're
like,
in Hammerfell, aren't they?
I think so.
Yeah.
2011 was so long.
It was so long.
But
The
College of Winterhold is like is held up as one of the best sort of side strands kind of thing, and a lot of people even because it makes me think of Harry Potter. I don't even like Harry Potter, but the College of Winterhold that always made me think of like the whole wizarding school, and you're getting used to mages and different spells, and that was a hell of a substantial amount of things.
The side quests in Skyrim are honestly one of the most like interesting narratives they had. Both the Thieves Guild and the Dark Brotherhood one are really cool. And the Dark Brotherhood one terrified me because you can actually encounter the Jester in so if you go along, you can see him and he's like his carriage is broken down or something.
Yeah.
And you can either choose to help him or turn him in. If you help him, you come back to that place later in the game. The family that are at that stead are all dead. Mm-hmm. But if you imprison him, he has a unique dialogue with you where like when you actually join the Dark Brotherhood, be like, oh, you sold me out and stuff, and like love that kind of the idea of like there being so many different threads, and if they can work the Thieves Guild and the Old Mary Dominion, or maybe even new guilds and factions into this one,
that'd be
really cool. Only the Dark Brotherhood
people, damn it.
I do not want new guilds. I want it to be Thieves Guild, Dark Brotherhood, mages and Fighters Guild. That's it. That's all I need. And even the vampires and werewolves can come back and everything.
The Dawn God was so cool.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but I think those four guilds are what makes Elder Scrolls.
Yeah. Okay.
Completely. I think that's where the founding of this whole experience is in those four guilds and like their lore and the way that they pan out and the way you can go back in time and see how they started. The Grey Fox, like all that sort of thing. Like, that's where it needs to stay with those. If a new one comes along, fair enough, but those need to stay there.
I guess you can do what?
No, carry on.
I think you can do like potentially more with them as opposed to bringing more in. Because I mean, the whole factional side of open worlds is kind of the way that Bethesda have gone. Like in Fallout 4, you're picking between loads of different people, the Minutemen, the Brotherhood of Steel, or whatever. And that's in 76 as well. And so.
This is again going back into my sad nerdery.
Do it!
I hated.
What culture
I
gaming?
I absolutely hated when I came across playthroughs online where people were playing as all the different guilds in one playthrough. It's like,
good.
That makes no sense. Why would someone who is a part of the companions then be a part of the Dark Brotherhood at the same time?
Literally.
And like, you literally walk around Skyrim, he's like, oh, I've got my eye on you because he thinks you're a thief. And then also it's like, oh, you're here to help, are you? You're a companion. Yeah. It's like, that makes no sense. Just start a new playthrough.
Just to break
keep it
every
authentic.
Single thing that they've set up.
Yeah.
I did do that. I did play as all of them, but just for the advantage of running around. Like, oh, am I going to kill you? I'm going to help you. I don't know.
Like, even that's the thing, because it's like that level of, it's not necessarily jank, because it's, they let you do it, but it's
jank is like, #jank is like,
hold on, jank is not, that's not me, that's a giant bomb word.
It's just this podcast.
Overall jank. But that's the thing, if they took that away, we're having so much fun talking about it, it's like, is that approach to playing something that it needs to stay? Like, I wonder how much they need.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can end on just general sort of what stuff you'd like to see, because what's the one thing you think would get you back in? Is it the region? Is it the combat?
Oh, I'm back in. I'm back in.
Yeah, but I'm already in. Yeah. The hook is there. Getting gummed on.
We're
right
definitely
now.
In.
It's really
bad. But I guess for me, the main thing is the combat. I don't want them to do a Dark Souls, but I do want them to refine the animations style. I like how mainstream and accessible just flailing around with your big old great sword is. But I do think it needs more to it. Like, like a more specific dodge roll and blocking and whatever. I hate that you have to unlock the dodge
roll. Yeah, I have one thing that I definitely don't want to be in there, that is the presence of a voice actor for the main protagonist. Ooh, I really thought that in Fallout 4, when you were given an assigned voice and an assigned story, that completely ruined the whole appeal of these games is to go in and do your own thing and get lost in it. If I'm assigned a character and like, fair enough, have your main quest, have your big overarching save the world story, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Just don't force me to play it and don't force me to embody a voice that isn't mine. Mm-hmm. So,
No, you make that's a phenomenal point because that was one of the most hated things about Fallout 4 was that you, I mean, even on the dialogue side, you just had the word sarcasm or whatever and it was
oh
like,
God,
what
that,
is
yeah, that whole
that whole thing.
And
then one of the first mods for that game was typing out what the responses were going to be so you knew what you were going to say. And they tried to inject, again, Mass Effect 3 did as well. It was like, let's give Commander Shepard a bit of a backstory and he's all sad about a dead child or whatever. And I was like, if you're playing my Commander Shepard as a complete monster, I ain't going to care about some dead child. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kill more children and carry on and fight the Reapers. And
what about the younglings?
What about the younglings is my point. And so I think if the more you kind of try and inject some story into it, the more it fundamentally breaks what the genre can offer. So that's a hell of a thing. And hopefully they've learned, considering the backlash to 4, to never do that again. Ash, what would you like to see?
I would really like to see personally, I'd like to see more of the actual homelands of the races we've got in there, but I don't think that's going to happen because we do get that in Elder Scrolls Online. I'd also like to see, again, different races that we haven't seen before, encountered before.
The monkey people.
The tiger serpent people. Even if it's just the Dwemer from, like, Underground.
Oh, yes.
That would be wonderful because that's been seeded so hard in this, like, world.
I liked all the names they have. The Ultmer, the Dwemer.
They're so cool.
The Dwemer. The Bosmer.
What's the place when you go underground in Skyrim and the whole clockwork
scene? That's the Dwemer.
Because I'm sure when you read about them, it was that, like, you know, they had this kind of prosperous place or whatever, and then something happened.
It's
that
a big mystery, is the thing. Like, it's like they've all disappeared, and they've left all these animatronics and
steam powered
automaton things. I was trying to say, I just went full like.
No one should randomly bust out the word automatons unless they're completely prepared to say such things. But I think that there's enough even there to be like you can kind of pick and prod at it.
I want that. I also want because we were talking about factions. I also really would like factions to be interwoven with the main storyline, and you pick like a faction that ends up being the overarching conclusion. Story.
One of the best mods for the definitive edition of Skyrim is I forget what it's called, but it lets you start as one of like 10 different characters.
So you can start
as like a barman, or you can just
literally do my sad thing, but it's actually got the sad stuff laid out for you. Brilliant.
It's kind of like how
to make your own.
Exactly.
It's great. And like, loads of people wrote loads of new dialogue for it. You've got to play on Xbox One because the PS4 doesn't support external assets. But if you play on Xbox One version, you can do all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Just make the role playing elements more role play, and then you all. Everyone loves the mythos as it is. It's probably one of the greatest gaming like worlds to inhabit.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, just let them do more of that. And we will love it.
I wonder, I wonder how much if they ditch a main story, like you had all the stuff with Parthenax and the Greybeards and everything, if you ditch that and we all just leap in, we get to pick whatever we start as and we all get our own story and there is no main story.
Ooh,
that would be...
Risky.
That'd be cool, though.
No, I think there should be a main story, but then you use the factions to further it. If you're like a big assassin, then you've got to go and assassinate someone, refute the companion, you've got to go and fight.
Right.
Like the big overarching enemy, you've got to fight them, you've got to do this, you go to that, and then lay out... It's taking so long. There is so many years that I'm expecting something fantastic and interwoven and narratively compelling, especially if they're using the same creation system. I want to see a narrative that's going to blow my socks off.
No!
On the audio side, Ash's mic has fallen apart.
Oh, no.
Yet again, hold it in place. It's fine because it's the end of the podcast anyway. Oh, my God, you got to fix it.
Mage's Guild.
For now. But yes, let us know what you think down in the comments. Are you looking forward to Elder Scrolls 6? And how do you think it's going to go based on the fact that they're still using the goddamn creation engine? But for now, this is all the things that we know. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Bazin.
Bye-bye.
And Ash Millman.
Goodbye.
I'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.